Now to hear from our youth, we're going to hear first from Jackie Lucas, and then her brother Brian, and then finally from Maddie Crosby. So you may be seated, and there are going to be some pictures also on the screens of their trip.
Good morning. My name is Jackie, and I am one of the youth here at St. Bart's that went on the missions trip. When we left the church Sunday morning, many questions filled my head. What work would we be doing, and are the people there nice? The ride was long, and I was impatient to get there. The car sickness wasn't helping. When we arrived in the town of Webster Springs, it looked nothing like Tonawanda. The town was surrounded by mountains and a river at the bottom. The church we stayed at was small, with only 3 bathrooms and 1 shower for everyone from our group and the Florida group to share. It was a challenge trying to get ready every morning with almost 35 people. The town was so welcoming, and to our surprise, we had amazing food each day. Every day, all the girls from our group got to work at a home owned by 2 people named Jim and Jenny. Jenny is a foster parent and had adopted 4 kids before she married Jim. One of her children had been in 18 different foster homes before she adopted him. Currently, they are living with Jenny's parents. Jim and Jenny had bought a house at an extremely good price because it was passed down through Jenny's family. The house was not livable at all. No electricity or running water. It was our job to make the house livable again for Jim, Jenny, and her family. For 4 days, we sanded and stained 2 of the bedroom floors and the floor of the attic. It felt like we never stopped sanding. Now we should all be pros. When it came time to stain, we had to take several breaks because even though we were wearing face masks, the fumes were still very strong. At one point, we had to move furniture from one room to another room full of more furniture. We didn't have to worry about not having tools or carrying large objects down the stairs because anytime we needed something or if we needed help, the Florida group was always there to help us. Our groups at Jim and Jenny's house worked so well together. Even though we were doing separate projects, we were both there to help each other out when needed. Some people from the Florida group helped us sand and stain. Every day for lunch, we ate outside, and every day when we arrived to the house to start working, Jenny's daughter, Michaela, would have baked goods like cookies waiting for us to enjoy throughout the workday. Each night, after we finished our work, we got to hang out at the church with the other group from Florida. A small group of us would play a game called Mao, which is a game where you have to figure out the rules on your own. It was a fun game that helped to build friendships between our 2 groups. One of the nights, both of our groups gathered and sang worship together. On another night, a few of us went to a derby run by the Boy Scouts. That's where I met Sarah, one of Jim and Jenny's kids. After she found out I was working on her house, she was so excited to tell me her room was the pink one at the end of the hall. Sarah and I became close very quickly. She was very friendly and would warm up to anyone right after she met them. On the last night, we went up to the mountains to a park. At the park, we had a cookout and played games and then ate s'mores by the fire. It was sad to say goodbye to our friends and leave, but the friendships we made will never be lost, and the work we did will be appreciated by the people of Webster Springs. From this trip, I learned that it's not about the things you own, but it's the way you treat others and your actions that define who you are.
Good morning. My name is Brian, and I went on the missions trips to Webster Springs, West Virginia. When we first arrived, we had no idea what we'd be doing for the week. When we got to the town, we drove to a small church, and that's where we were staying. That night at the church, we were given a dinner by a gentleman and his wife who would be serving us every night. They were not from the town we were in. They were from a smaller town about a half hour down the mountain. But they came every day to serve us and the mission teams. They also have a community dinner at their church every Wednesday that is free for everyone. This is a great thing because from what we saw of the town, everyone needs it. After dinner, we found out that our group and a group from Florida would be split into 3 teams. Our group from St. Bart's would be split in 2. My group's job was at a lady named Donna's house. We were told her story about why she asked for help from a mission team. Donna had a son who had autism, and she was told that her son would only make it to be 11 or 12 years old. Her son lived to be 24, and when he passed away, she became very depressed. She didn't go or look in his room for many years because she was very depressed. The hot water tank was in the closet of her son's room, and over the years, one of the pipes busted, and water spread throughout her house. The floor and the walls were completely ruined, and Donna had no idea. She finally noticed when she heard the hot water tank crash through the floor of her trailer, and water was squirting everywhere. We left for Donna's house Monday morning, being told it was only a 10-minute drive. We went up and down the mountain, following Megan, one of the organizers of the mission trip, and we passed every driveway thinking we were there. After about 40 minutes of mountains and hills, we were finally at Donna's. We had no idea what to expect when we pulled in her driveway. Donna and her sister, who lived very close, had goats, donkeys, and a pony. We went and pet all the animals and then went inside. We met Donna and her small puppy Cuddles. She told us how she makes jewelry and showed us all of it. She told us that she was happy that her son lived to be as old as he did, and she said that, in the way she said it, really impacted me. She was happy and took it as a positive, ignored the negative. We talked to Donna for a half hour. She loved our company. After that, we went to go see what we had to do. We walked into the room and saw that the floor had no structure at all. We started by taking off the wallpaper and drywall on all of the walls that took up the entire first day. When we arrived on Tuesday, we took out all the insulation and cleared out the closet that was still filled with old toys and pictures that were ruined from the water. We asked Donna if she still wanted the pictures, and she said yes, and that she would try to look at them one last time. She was happy that we asked her, and because it was all she had left of some of her memories. On Wednesday, we went back, and we started to take out the floor, and when we got to see, we put a hole in to see what we had to do. We had to put boards running all along the wood across the floor. On Thursday, the group from Florida came to meet Donna and buy some of the jewelry like our group from our church did on Wednesday. We ate lunch down by the creek with the group from Florida that was right across the street from Donna's. After the group left, we went back and finished by the time we had to leave. The room looked completely different and it was hardly recognizable. That was our last day, and Donna told me, James, and Will that we could each take a necklace as a thank you. I wear mine every day because I don't want to forget what we did that week. Throughout the week, we talked to Donna, and she loved to tell us stories. One day, me, James, and Will talked to her for over an hour about all her animals she had and how her and her family moved to West to Virginia. Donna really impacted my life because she showed me that you don't need a lot to be happy. I'm happy that I went on the trip because I got to see things that I have never seen before. I learned so much about myself during this trip, and I'm thankful that I went.
Good morning. My name is Maddie Crosby, and I've been part of the St. Bart's Youth Group for 3 years. 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Webster Springs, West Virginia. We left on March 20th, and after 8 hours of driving, we arrived at the First United Methodist Church. At first, I was very hesitant about going. I was nervous about not being able to finish my homework, not being in contact with my friends, and that I would only work all day and do nothing else. As soon as we arrived and met the people we would be staying with, all of my anxieties seemed to disappear. They made us feel like we were at home and we had known them forever. They made us dinner and dessert and invited us to join in with their weekly youth group meeting. The couple who was making us food were extremely hospitable and kind to us. My brother has a very restricted diet because of allergies, and they were constantly making him alternative meals that he didn't even have to ask for. Later the first night, we were joined by a mission group who came from Florida after 14 hours of driving. The next day, we were introduced to the projects that we'd be working on. The house that I would be working on was owned by a couple named Jim and Jenny. They had adopted 4 children and were constantly fostering more. At the moment, they were living with Jenny's parents, but they had bought a house for a low cost and wanted to move into it as soon as possible. It was our job to help make this happen. We were tasked with sanding down the damaged floors of the upstairs bedrooms and attic, then staining them. And the Florida group, who was also working on this house, was in the basement putting in new floorboards and painting. At one point, they invited us to come downstairs. They were about to put in the new flooring, and they wanted us to write our favorite Bible verses on the floorboards. They told us that they wanted us to write this so that they could tell Jim and Jenny that their house was founded on the scripture. After a couple days, we became very close with the group from Florida. They were very kind and friendly and open to making new friends. It was very eye-opening to make me think about how I treat people when I first meet them. What is the first thing people think when they meet me? I found that on this trip, the most interesting part was meeting the people that we were working with. If you saw some of the conditions that they had to live in, you'd probably think that they would be generally unhappy people, but it was the exact opposite. The people who had the least were some of the most generous and friendly people I had ever met. On Wednesday, we were able to go and visit one of the other work sites. It was a lady named Donna who lived in the middle of nowhere on the side of a mountain. She resided in a small trailer surrounded by her animals. We had heard so many great things about her animals and her personality, but they hadn't warned us about the car ride getting there. It was around 45 minutes long, with constant twists, turns, and bumps. The whole way there, the car was filled with many groans and a possible overuse of the phrase, "I'm literally about to throw up." But overall, it was definitely worth it to meet Donna. Even though she had very little, it was clear that that was all she needed. This mission trip really opened my eyes to see that possessions do not lead to happiness. It made me start to think before I complain or ask for the next best thing. This mission trip was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had, and I hope to go on more in the future.
Well, thank you. You guys did a great job. We really are proud of what you accomplished and what you experienced. And now we're going to see some photos of the actual trip. This is before they left St. Bart's on Palm Sunday, or while they left on their way. They don't know what they're getting into. They're very happy. And they're entering Pennsylvania now and on their way to West Virginia after a rest stop and some goodies. And now they're entering West Virginia. There's the church they stayed at. They slept on the floor. They're still smiling, great food. Now they're to Jim and Jenny's house that Maddie was just talking about. They got a lot of work to do there as they enter in. They're going to be working on the floor and restoring it. The backyard, I believe. Now they're getting to work and they're sanding. And they're continuing to sand. Sanding some more and some more and some more. Doing some staining and painting. Start to see the finished product there. Writing some good words. Scripture, it's the foundation for everything, putting it right in to the wood, to the structure. Working on the stairwell. Nice job. Bathroom and then the great room again. Now we go to Donna's house. She was the one who lost her son at 24, living in a trailer home. The water tank broke, and they're starting to replace the floor. There's a cat known to eat humans, but that's okay. Friendly cat. There's Deacon Reitz wondering what he has gotten himself into. The animals in the back. And then you're going to get some photos of the countryside. There's Donna. So there you have it. We want to thank everyone who helped out. Appreciate your prayers. Everybody made it safe and sound, and appreciate everybody who contributed. We Obviously, thank everybody for coming to the spaghetti dinner, too. That helped defray some of the cost. But the importance of a missions trip is many-fold. It is an opportunity for us to get beyond our comfort zone. And when we're taken out of our comfort zone, that's when our faith can really grow. And so usually why people don't go on missions trip, other than maybe conflicts or they're sick, and those are legitimate, but it's usually because of fear and anxiety, or not sure. And so when we have another missions trip, next year we may be going to the Dominican Republic, I want you to strongly consider and pray about it, because not only is it an opportunity to grow in your faith, but it's an opportunity to grow closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ, because when you're together with other believers and you have a common purpose, a common goal, there's a bonding that takes place, you're creating great memories. You're also not only growing in faith and creating those memories and that closer relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're reaching out to others, you're impacting others. You're not only changed, but you're changing other people's lives by demonstrating tangibly the love and light of Christ. And that's another reason why missions trips are so important. It's a way to connect with other believers, other people, even people who might not believe, and to let them know about Jesus and who we are. The Bible and what we do. The Bible says in 1 John that how can you say you love God whom you can't see if you do not love a person who you can see? And so when we love others, we're tangibly demonstrating our love for God. So again, thank you. Thanks to the youth. And we look forward to future missions trips. And let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity that our youth and some of our adults had to show the love of Christ in serving action in Webster Springs, West Virginia. We pray for the people they helped. We thank you for Donna and Jim and Jenny, and we just ask your continued blessing upon them. Thank you for the churches that hosted and were so hospitable and provided food. We pray your blessing upon those churches and their ministries and all the people in West Virginia. And we ask that you would help each of us here at St. Bartholomew's grow closer to you and really seek you and how we can serve others to show the love of Christ and to do all things to bring glory to the Father. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.